Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
CPR has changed a lot in the last few years. They've changed the way that you do it. They've changed just a few things. We're going to talk about those changes. As a parent, if your child is choking, what are you going to do? You're going to call 911 first, and then what are you going to do? Do you know what you're going to do? Are your parents, the grandparents, CPR certified? How about the teenagers in your home? When do they get certified? And if they're becoming babysitters, are they learning CPR certification and emergency techniques just in case? My guest is Dr. Deborah Ann Mulligan. She's the Chief Medical Officer for MD Live Care. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mulligan. So let's talk about CPR. First thing, tell us what has changed recently with CPR.
Well, it's actually it's much more direct. It eliminates some of the fears that people had in the past about mouth-to-mouth. You don't need to be concerned as there once was. There's been a great deal of science behind the modification in terms of bystander CPR, where it's primarily looking at the importance of compression of the chest as opposed to being concerned about how many breaths that you might be giving and then alternating with chest compression. And so, you know, what I wanted to share with you as well is there's not even if you're at all worried and there's an issue and you can't remember how to apply bystander first aid CPR, don't forget you can always call the poison helpline call 911 first, obviously, if there's a problem. And then you can also be walked through the way by which you offer first aid CPR or a Heimlich maneuver. You wanted to talk about that today, by the help from 911. And then also the alternative, too, is if you think that there's a poison issue, you can call 1-800-222-1222, and there's always someone there at the Poison Control Center to talk to you about what to do for first aid if there's a poisoning involved.
So poisoning is 1-800-222-1222, and that's anywhere in the country, and they will direct
anywhere.
You to your local poison control center and help you with that. Now, CPR, now, as you said, you don't have to worry about the mouth-to-mouth as much. It's a hands-only thing, and they've been putting out videos
Correct.
From, you know, various agencies, government agencies, of the hands-only. So it's the compressions, and they're saying to sing Staying Alive while you're doing it.
Yes, actually, I'm so happy that you say that. There's a wonderful woman who started that whole process and got the original permission from the Bee Gees to use it, because the rhythm in that is exactly the rhythm that you need to do proper compression. And it goes back to when we were kids with Schoolhouse Rocks, how you learn so many different things with music. And so, yes, that's the perfect way to go about it.
I love that too, you know, and I've practiced and sang Staying Alive. That's really great. I'm so glad she got the you know, blessing of the
permission.
Bee Gees.
Yeah,
yeah, the permission to do that. Now, performing CPR on a child, a little bit different. Let's talk about choking. First thing you do when your child is choking, you're an emergency physician. What do you do? You call 911 right away, or do you try and get your child breathing first?
Well, firstly, remember, you're right, choking is one of the biggest threats to the young infant and toddler because of the size of the hole in their windpipe. Simple food items that kids like to go after, which we don't want them to eat, but occasionally they get hands on it because of the toddlers or other kids in the household, would be hot dogs and grapes. Imagine that size cylinder of that food item is the exact size of a baby or a toddler's windpipe and then seals the whole thing off so they can't breathe. If the child is coughing, then you don't want to try to get the object out because the cough is the best way to remove the object itself, the coughing itself. Now, if the child is not coughing or breathing, then clearly someone needs to take immediate action. And the way that that's been traditionally done is through the Heimlich maneuver. And, you know, if anybody wants to read how that's done, they can go to healthychildren.org and then look up and search choking, and it'll pull up all the information that they need if they wanted to review. But in essence, you just take the conscious child who's sitting or standing, you position yourself behind that child and wrap your arms around the waist You put the thumb side of your fist in the middle of the child's abdomen, and then well below where the breastbone ends, well below that tip. You don't want to touch it. You grab that fist with your free hand and press inward with rapid upward thrust, and that should pop out the food item. In addition, if there's someone else nearby you, they should be calling 911 while you're trying to perform this maneuver.
That is so scary. It was one of my biggest fears when my children were little. And even now, if they even cough while they're eating, and they're 10 and 13, and they're like, Mom, stop it. I sit there and I like watch.
You see people in the restaurant all the time choking on steak. It doesn't matter the age.
That's a good
maneuver to know. And it's good to know when to use it and when to leave the person alone as well. I'm sure you've seen plenty of instances where there's a crowd trying to do the Heimlich maneuver and the person's coughing and asking them, please wait. So you have to know when to do it, when not.
That's right. And coughing, as you mentioned. Huge key right there. Parents listening know that coughing, do not do anything. If your child's coughing,
it
means there's air getting through, and probably and hopefully the child will get rid of whatever it is on their own because they're coughing.
Right.
But hold the phone anyway. You can always hold the phone anyway, ready to call 911.
Exactly. And you should call 911 anyway if somebody's choking that badly.
If someone's choking, absolutely. But just like the little coughing kids do sometimes when they eat, it's enough to make parents crazy. Now, what about our teenagers, Dr. Mulligan? When do you suggest we get them trained to do this sort of thing? If we know they're going to start babysitting, and what's the babysitting age these
Precisely.
Days?
Precisely. Well, it's not at all uncommon to have 12 and 13-year-olds providing babysitting service.
I babysat at 9 and 10. I wouldn't leave my 9 or 10-year-old alone right now at all.
Yeah, so if we're making confessions, yes, at age 10 I was babysitting my 4 siblings, but we don't want to promote that.
I was too, but you would never do that now. I won't even, leave my 10-year-old home alone. I won't.
Not at all.
Not even when I run to Walgreens. She's like, I'm not staying alone. So, what is the age?
So
about 13 now.
There are wonderful babysitting courses, and also the American Academy actually provides packet of videotape and books for babysitters to learn the information that we're talking about right now. There's also courses that the American Red Cross, the YMCA, the YWCA offers for babysitters. And many of the college-age students that are helping to be, quote-unquote nannies for different families go through these organizations now. I'm sure you're familiar with them. There are many where they can go online to get the criminal background check, but then they also insist that they get a certification for first aid CPR. So whether you're a college student babysitting, whether you're a 13-year-old babysitting your own siblings or the next door neighbor's kids, at that age, middle school years, you're more than capable of taking that kind of certification program and being prepared. It's like being a Girl Scout or a Boy Scout. Being prepared is always the best.
So in this case, and to wrap it up in the last 30 or 40 seconds, Dr. Mulligan, CPR, learning emergency procedures with your kids as a family. Wrap it up for us, please. Okay.
Well,
you could have some dead air there.
Well, yes, this could be another family activity. Why not have everybody go down and get their certification by standard first aid CPR? Every family member can benefit from that information, whether you're helping an infant, a grandparent, a visitor, a neighbor, whether there's an emergency taking place unexpectedly at the playground, at school. Why not be prepared? It's smart. It's smart.
Absolutely.
And as you say
smart.
On your tagline, stay well.
Absolutely, and that's the way that you can, as a family, definitely stay well, learn these procedures, take a CPR class. Even as a family, if your kids are going to babysit, make sure that they are prepared and know what to do with little babies and toddlers if there's choking or something happens. You're listening to Radio MD. The show is Healthy Children. Be sure and like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Learn CPR, stay healthy, and stay well.